You know, we should never be surprised when God does some work in us. And when God starts speaking, we should never be surprised. But every time it happens, do you know what? It knocks me off my feet. And you find me at the moment in a position where I'm just a bit speechless. It doesn't happen very often. Thank you. Laughing. But before the service, Maria and I prayed that isn't it good to be able to come in freedom? And you've just prayed the same prayer. And the other bit that's just knocked me off my feet a little bit is you had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. Until quite recently, I had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. But the song we've just sung about being washed in his blood is what I'm preaching on this morning. And I'm just having one of those moments where I'm like, whoa, God's doing something. And it's exciting, but it's also a bit, I don't know what it is. But it's powerful, isn't it, when God does a work in us. And so I have no idea what's about to happen now, because I thought I was just going to turn up and preach and we'd all go home and it would all be okay. But I think God is doing something here this morning. God is doing something in you. I pray to God he's doing something in me, no pun intended, because it's exciting when God does do something in us. But there's just been so many things that have happened this morning, from what we've already prayed to what's been prayed in here, and you had no idea what we've prayed in there. You had no idea what I was preaching on. And I say, until quite recently, I had no idea either. But God knows, and I'm just a little bit, I don't know what, I don't know what the word is, pardon? Gobsmacked. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often that my gob has never been that smacked. don't put that on the internet. I just realised what I just said. So if you have a Bible this morning, turn with me to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. If you haven't got a Bible, just listen. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46 says this. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, we should never be surprised when you do a work in us. We should never be surprised when you speak to us, when you speak into our hearts. We should never be gobsmacked, Lord God, when you move among us. But Father, for some reason, we become like that. We are surprised when you do a work in us. We are surprised when you move. Father, we just pray that you would forgive us for our doubting that you would do something in us. Forgive us, Lord God, when we are gobsmacked that you're speaking to us, that you're moving us. Forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief. Father, there's been so many things that have happened here in this place this morning that can only be because of you. Because nobody else knew the prayers that we've prayed in the quiet, and nobody else knew that those prayers are then going to be reiterated in here. Nobody knew the words that you had given for now. But the songs that we've sung, Lord, have just brought it all together. Nobody knew that that could have happened apart from you. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are moving in this place. We thank you, Lord God, that not only are you moving in this place, but you're moving in the hearts of each of us here this morning. And we prayed early this morning, don't let us go away from here today saying, that was a lovely sermon, Vicar, thank you. Father, we just pray as we leave from here today that all of us would be uncomfortable because we've been challenged by you. That none of us would be sat here today thinking that this is a message for somebody else in this room. But we would all know today that this is a message for each and every one of us. Father, keep on speaking. Don't allow us to be the stumbling block in the way. And Father, if it is your will this morning to keep on speaking, then shut me up and you speak. I don't know whether you know the American preacher, Tony Campolo. Have you ever heard of him? He's the red letter Bible guy. He's a bit of a controversial fella, but he told this story. It's quite an interesting story. He says this, I was walking down the streets of Philadelphia, and these are his words. He said, a bum came towards me. I mean, a dirty, filthy guy. He was covered in soot from head to toe. You couldn't believe how messed up this guy was. He had a huge beard and there was rotten food stuck in his beard. And as he approached me, he held out a cup of McDonald's coffee and said, hey, mister, you want some coffee? I looked at this dirty, filthy man and said, thanks, but that's okay. And I walked by. The minute I passed him, I knew I was doing the wrong thing. So I turned around and said, excuse me, I would like some of your coffee. So I took the coffee, I sipped it, and I gave it back. And I said, you're being very generous. How come you're being so generous to me? And the bum looked at me and he said, because the coffee was especially delicious today. And I think that when God gives you something good, you ought to share it with other people. Tony went on to say, I didn't know how to handle that. So I said, well, can I give you anything? I thought he would hit me for $5, and he said, no. But then he said, yes, actually, yeah, you can give me something. I've changed my mind. There is something that you can give me. Can you give me a hug? Tony goes on to say, I was hoping for the $5. But I put my arms around him. And as I, in my suit and tie, and he in his filthy garb, hugged each other on the street, I had this strange awareness that I wasn't hugging a bum, but I was hugging Jesus. Because I found Jesus in that man. You know, in one of Jesus's most vivid parables, this lesson is made perfectly clear. The lesson is that God will judge each and every one of us in accordance with our response to a bum, to human need. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and naked and cold and you clothed me. I was sick and I was in prison and you came to me. And in a bum, he found Jesus. And when Jesus said those words, all those who heard him responded, when did we see you hungry? When did we let you go thirsty? When were you homeless or shivering or sick or in prison? And Jesus' simple response was, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked, whenever you did one of these things to someone who's ignored, that was me. You did it for me. When he comes again, when the Son of Man comes again in all of his glory and all of his angels will be with him, when he sits on the throne in heavenly glory, when we have that chance to see him face to face, he will say, when you gave me a drink, when you fed me, when you clothed me, when you gave me shelter, when you did it to the least, you did it for me. And when that time comes, when he sits on his throne in all his glory with his angels around him, he will be coming most unexpectedly. He will be coming quite suddenly. And I wonder, what will you be doing when he returns? I know we've talked about this before. Will you be busy? Will you be doing something? Will you be trying to be super busy for God, thinking that that's what he wants? Or will you be caring for the sick? Will you be tending the needy? Will you be looking out for the stranger? Will you be loving the ones the world has decided are not worth loving? I wonder, will you be doing what he would have done? Will you be found hugging a bum? because that's what he would have done. Will you be doing what he would have done? And in doing so, will you be expressing the love of God? Because if you can say, yeah, Rhiannon, that's what exactly what I'll be doing. That's exactly what I will be doing. Then I want to tell you this morning, you will be expressing the love of God and you'll be fulfilling the command of Jesus. Will you be doing that? Will I be doing that? I hope to goodness that I will be doing that, and I hope to goodness that you will be doing that. What made you feel is about how you have responded, how you have acted. He will look at you and say, did you fulfill your family responsibilities like five of the ten virgins, or did you own all your things? What did you do with the incredible gift of the kingdom, which is worth much more than you will ever, ever earn on your own? Were you about your master's business, acting on his behalf, not fulfilling your interests, but his? Did you hug a bum? Or did you walk past thinking, oh, sorry, somebody else will do it? Somebody else maybe is not as tidy as I am, so I'm going to get dirty. Somebody else maybe has got a bit of time. Somebody else will do that, but let me tell you, nobody else is going to do that. Because the world is looking to you and me as Christians, as followers of Christ, to hug the bum. And he will know if you or I walk past. Because judgment awaits every single one of us. There will be no exception, and there will be no favoritism. There will be no excuses. No fence to sit on. I remember when I had my church, before I went into hospital chaplaincy, I was leading a church meeting one night, and we'd come to quite a very big decision, and we needed an answer. I wanted a vote, and I wanted to make sure that we heard God's voice and we were doing what God wanted. And so I asked for a show of hands, and I said, hands for four. And then I said, and hands for against. And then I said, and it came out perfectly, and those of you sitting on the fence. And it dawned on me at that point, other than it was rhymed, and I've got quite a poet and I know it, four against sitting on the fence. If you're sitting on the fence, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And if you are sitting on the fence, it will mean nothing. Because there is no fence to sit on. Do you want to be a sheep on the right? Or a goat cast out into the desert, eaten and destroyed and devoured by the wild animals? You know, for some of us, that is a daily question that we need to ask. It's very easy to go this way, isn't it? It's very easy to sort of go along the world, and all of a sudden you find out that you're actually not about God's business. You're not doing what he wants you to do. You're not being obedient. It's so much easier to go that way. But he will come suddenly and judge you for that. And he will judge me for that. There will be a great surprise on that day of judgment. There will be those who think that they're going to be on the side of the sheep. But when they are judged, they will find out that they themselves are with the goats. I want to say to you this morning, make sure you are with the sheep. Because it is the sheep who are led by the follower of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are a sheep. You know, sometimes we think that because we're good people, because we do good,
good works. Because we've been teaching in Sunday school since Adam was a boy. Because we've led Bible study groups, because we lead prayer meeting, because all of the rest of it, then that's enough to secure our salvation. Well, let me tell you this morning, it's not. My grandmother used to say to me, I'm going to go to heaven realm because I'm a good person. Oh, difficult one. You are not going to go to heaven because you are good. You will not get there because of your good works. Even when you're in church, the good works in church, that will not secure your salvation. It's not good enough. You know, at this time of judgment, when it comes quite suddenly, there will be no time for debate. There'll be no time for you to go, oh, Jesus, you're here. Well, what I was going to do just before you arrived was all these good works. There'll be no time for that. There'll be no time for discussion, no excuses. No witnesses will be called to say, yes, they were just about to do those good things. They've lived their lives the way they wanted to, but now, just as you asked, they were about to do those good things. There will be no time for that. There'll be no defense lawyer defending you because you're a good person. Because it will not be needed. Because Jesus knows you, and he's met with you before. He knows why you walked past the bum on the street. He knows why you found it easier to go with the world and not go with the rest of the sheep. And he asks for a response from each and every one of us. Whatever you did, for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. He's asking you for a response. He wants you to do something. It's not good enough, and neither is it what he wants for us just to come along to church, to sing some lovely songs, say our prayers, and think, I'm all right for another week, done that now. Carry on doing what I want to do for the rest of the week. It's not good enough. He wants a response. Whatever you did for the least of these, whatever you did, we can change the emphasis and say whatever you did. Then we change it again to whatever you did. We've got to do something for the least of these. Because we live in a world that is needy. We've been placed here for such a time as this for a reason. And we must be known as followers, sheep of Christ, for what we did for the least. We've got to realize that failing to care for the poor, for the unemployed, for the needy, failing to care for the ones that everybody else has turned their back on because they can't be bothered, because they haven't had the time, because somebody else will do it. In failing to care for them, we're failing to care for those with whom Jesus identified himself with. Because that's who he would have been with. He went to the poor. He went to the lonely. He went to the sick. He went to the margins of society and he hugged a bum. And if we are the followers of Christ, then so should we. You know, the heart of all that it means to be a Christian, at the heart of all it means to be a follower of Christ, at the heart of all of that, all the good works that we do in his name, at the heart of all of this must be about our individual relationship with him. And if that is not right, then we've got to sort it out. If we're not in the right relationship with him, then go home today and sort it out. Ask somebody here to keep you accountable. I've got three people that I keep myself accountable to make sure that I am right with him. Keep yourself accountable. If God, if Jesus Christ is not involved in all areas of your life, sort it out. If you allow him just to do the bits that you think either are too difficult for you to do, so let's give that over to him, or if you allow him just to do the things that are just a bit sort of minor and you think, oh, well, you can do that because I'll be about the big stuff, then you're wrong. He's supposed to be involved and in charge of all areas of our lives. I love cars. I love fast cars. Obviously, mine only goes up to 70 on the motorway. So I do like fast cars. If I'm driving my car and if I say to God, do you know God, this car represents my life. How about I move out of the driving seat and you take control? That's great. God is in control. He's directing the path that we're going along. But if I say, well, I tell you what, God, you just worry about the steering wheel, I'll do the pedals and the gear stick and the mirrors, then he's not in control. You know, we've got to get out of the driving seat. We've got to give him the steering wheel. But we've also got to give him the pedals and the gear stick and the mirrors, and allow him control over everything. And once we give it to him, we don't have to take it back. And it's very easy to take it back. But once he got it, let him keep it. Let him go into every corner, every dark room, crying that you would die if anybody else ever knew about. Let him shine that light in those dark areas. We've sung a few times this morning about giving all the honour and the glory to his name. They're great words. But there's no point in just singing them if we don't mean them. If as soon as we leave here, we've left these words in the room. There's no point in us saying, you know, take control of everything. I'll go and show the love to the world that you've asked me to show to them. I'll go and love the loveless, and I'll go and care for the sick, and I'll go to the margins of society. I'll go and feed the hungry. I will go and care for the sick. No point in doing all of that and then saying, but then I'll take the steering wheel back if you don't mind, thank you very much, because I'll be in control. The sheep are on his right, being led by the great shepherd. And a great shepherd goes to the margins, and he goes to the sick, and he goes to the one society has rejected, and he's asking us to do the same. You know, and the more that we learn to discern what Christ challenging as we go to the poor, as we go to the needy, to the helpless, the more prepared we will be on that day of judgment. Because if you're doing it now, when he comes again, whenever that will be, suddenly, we can say, I've been about my Father's business. Which is exactly what Jesus said, isn't it, when he was 12. Don't be found saying, well, I was just about to get on with that. Because on that day, all will be disclosed, all will be open, and he will see it all. And there'll be nowhere to hide, there'll be nowhere to run to. And there will be many surprises. Many who are now sort of famous in the Christian world, who are sort of like the Christian celebrities, in whatever way, won't be found with the sheep. Many in our churches won't be found with the sheep. Many who are on the edges of the crowd will be. Many who have never been heard outside their own friendship circles will be very near the throne. And that's my prayer for us all, that on that day we will be found near the throne. And why would we be there? Well, I pray it would be because of our love for Christ, that we have shown our readiness to meet him. That it will be because of our watchfulness to serve him on every occasion, not just when it suits. I pray that we will be found near the throne because we got up and hugged a bum. I pray it will be because each and every one of us will give ourselves generously, in service, without any thoughts of reward, simply because of the need that we find in our dark and hurting world, simply because of the people that we meet along the way, simply because you have shown the love of Christ. My mum always says when we do something reasonably good, my mum goes, oh, well, your reward will be in heaven. And I hope it will be for all of us. But because we don't know when that time is, when he will come again to judge each and every one of us, make sure that what you are doing is what he has commanded you to do. So that when he judges, you will be found with the sheep and not with the goats. And it might be because of something as simple as that story at the beginning, that this week you will reach out and hug a bum. That you would hug someone, and I pray that you would know that you're hugging Jesus. When I was thirsty or hungry, naked, shivering, in prison and cold, you did it for me. Father, we would pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth.
hospital.